It's believed that up to 1 in 5 Australians live with long-standing or chronic pain, and a good proportion of those are disabled by it to a significant extent. Some have arthritis, some have cancer-related pain, and many have what's called a chronic pain syndrome, which can be in almost any part of the body, commonly back pain, headaches, or pelvic or abdominal pain. Whatever caused the pain to begin with has long healed or disappeared, and what the person is left with is very real but hard to treat pain. It costs them and the nation a fortune, in part because many doctors, like their patients, are worried that they might have missed something, so the person gets shunted from test to test and from specialist to specialist, often undergoing needless surgery, which can make things worse. Pain experts believe that abnormal and self-sustaining pain circuits are set up in the brain. It's been a bit of a mystery, but a unique study in the United States seems to have illuminated the path that some people take. Vani Abkarian is Professor of Physiology at Northwestern University in Chicago.
The study is specifically designed to understand what in the brain happens when people develop chronic pain and what things in the brain actually determine why people will develop chronic pain.
And how did you define chronic pain?
Chronic pain is, in fact, not well-defined. It is essentially pain that persists past the initial injury-related healing processes, in the sense that usually an injury will cause pain, and as that injury heals, the pain will go away with it. However, in a small number of people, that pain may persist and it can, in fact, last for a whole lifetime.
What did we know before this study?
Over the last 10 years or so, we have pioneered a whole variety of studies, and other people have also contributed to the idea that the brain is changing with chronic pain. It changes for different types of chronic pain conditions, and it seems to change both anatomically and physiologically.
So when you say anatomically, you mean physical structures change, and also the way the nerves operate change?
Yes, literally the structure of the brain is changing with chronic pain. Different regions of the brain are decreasing in their size. And we think that is probably a reflection of synapses changing in different areas of the brain as people are coping or suffering with chronic pain over many, many years.
And when you say synapses, you're talking about the junctions between nerves and the networks of nerves in the brain.
That's right. The connections of neurons and how they talk with each other, how often they talk to each other, how strong are these connections, we think are changing when people continue to live with chronic pain.
The trouble with that past research, which found differences in the brain function between people with and without chronic pain, is that they've been snapshots at a moment in time. And that relies on a lot of assumptions and doesn't tell you, for example, what these people's brains looked like before they developed chronic pain. This study followed a group of people with back pain from not long after the time of their injury to see what happened inside their brains. Vani Abkarian again.
This is the first study that I know of that we follow the brain anatomically and physiologically over time for a population of patients that all begin with essentially the same amount of pain, the same duration of pain, and the same intensity of pain. And then we follow these patients. These are all what we call subacute back pain, in the sense that the pain has persisted for between 4 to 12 weeks, and it's intense enough that we would enter them into the study, and then we follow them for a year. And we scan their brains for its anatomical properties and its physiological properties.
How many people did you study?
39 patients that we have completed.
What proportion of the people went on to having pain at 1 year?
About 50% of the patients that started the study continued to have exactly the same pain that they entered in 1 year later, while the rest of them recovered.
So in a sense, you pre-selected a group who hadn't got over their acute back pain quickly anyway, and so 50%, from their point of view, were unlucky enough to continue to get chronic pain. And what did you see in their brains?
First of all, we see that in the patients that the pain goes away, the brain shows no abnormalities, and the brain properties look the same as in healthy subjects. So that's a real surprise, in the sense that it's not simply that because of the pain that the brain is changing. It seems to be changing only in the patients where the pain is persistent.
And the brains were similar at the beginning of the study. When you looked at the people, 39, give or take all the variation that you get in brains anyway, they look pretty similar at the beginning of the study.
They look similar to each other. They also look similar to healthy subjects. So anatomically, the brains, at least parts of the brain, the gray matter of the brain, which is what we have studied in this specific study, the gray matter density, which is a crude measure of the synaptic properties of different regions of the brain, were all looking identical across the two groups as well as in relation to healthy controls. And the ones who then recovered, again, continued to look like having healthy brains. On the other hand, the ones who continue to have the pain, we see a continuous decrease from entry into 1 year later. Those subjects show continuous decrease in gray matter density, which we think is a reflection of, again, these synaptic contacts, how strong these contacts are and how they are shifting in time over that whole 1 year period.
But in specific parts of the brain?
And very specific parts of the brain, and those parts of the brain are areas that we think have to do with, in fact, the change in the perception of pain and the pain becoming more of a chronic condition. And that simply says that the brain does reorganize specifically as the pain becomes chronic.
The really fascinating thing, though, was which parts of the brain were caught up in this process. It turned out that only in the people who developed chronic pain, the place where the pain was registering in the brain developed a relationship with what's called the prefrontal cortex. This is where we make decisions and exert control over our emotions and behavior.
The practical benefit is that now we can identify targets to future therapy, drug development, etc. For the first time, we have a causal link between the brain anatomy, brain physiology, and chronic pain.
What predicted the people who went on to chronic pain and getting these brain differences? What was it about them? Did you measure anything else about these people?
We've measured many things in these people, but what we find that really is the only predictive parameter, in this analysis at least, is this amount of interaction between this medial prefrontal cortex and nucleus accumbens. That's interesting because we know that the medial prefrontal cortex is an area that has to do with emotional assessment of the environment, while nucleus accumbens is an area that has to do with teaching the brain the value of the environmental input and modifying synaptic strengths in the brain. So the results of this connectivity suggest that the emotional predisposition and or response to the initial injury is in fact causally linked to the reorganization of the brain, learning pathways that then either results in the pain going away or results in the pain persisting.
I mean, the reason I ask the question, of course, is that people who've studied chronic pain suggest that, you know, if you've had a lot of life changes in the previous year or two, lost your job, had bereavements and so on, you are more susceptible to going on to chronic pain. What your doctor does for you and the expectations your doctor gives you about your pain can make a difference about whether you go on to chronic pain, and indeed how effectively your acute pain is looked after in the initial injury. If that's badly managed, there's a thought that maybe you can go on to chronic pain.
Predictors are all very weak predictors compared to this prediction that we find, which in fact has 85% correct. These patients are subacute patients, and this is their first episode of back pain. At least half of them are not even going to their doctor. This is an important finding in the sense that it's for the first time we are finding a specific brain mechanism underlying pain chronification and with a very strong predictive outcome.
Of course, you don't know yet how reversible these changes are.
Well, we do know some in a sense that other studies have shown in chronic pain patients, for example, when the pain is properly treated, some of these changes are reversed. So the anatomical changes that we observe in the brain seem to be causally related to the state of the chronicity of the pain. When chronic pain is present, these regions are reflecting that chronic pain state. And when that chronic pain is treated properly, at least some of these areas do seem to at least partially recover. We're very excited with these results, and in fact, in many ways, we are surprised as to how robust these results are. This is a very expensive study. We've spent about 5 years collecting this data, and it was only possible by a huge NIH grant. And in fact, NIH has now funded us on the next phase to use these results to be able to test for new potential therapies, either for prevention of chronification and or the treatment of the chronic pain.
Vania Abkarian is Professor of Physiology at Northwestern University in Chicago.